He's not married yet either, but that's going to take a while, amen. So. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Stand, well, no, I won't stand, we'll just read two verses, three verses. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And let's pray. Father, we do thank you for the goodness and the grace of God that has made salvation possible through the act of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ and the offering of his blood upon the mercy seat. And thank you, Lord, that it is by grace through faith. I pray that as we consider the text and its importance and its implications this morning, that God, you'll strengthen our faith, help us, Lord, to be more, I guess, maybe convinced and of the truth of our message and the importance of it, that we go out to proclaim to the rest of the world. And Lord, it's resisted because of the fact that so many are so full of their own self-righteousness that it's very difficult for them to accept that salvation can be a gift, that there's nothing to do except receive it by faith. But I pray that you help us as we consider these things this morning to be reassured in our own spirits that it is the case, and maybe to have something we could give to somebody else to help them understand why it's so. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, of course, for those of us who believe the Bible, it's obvious that the most important subject to consider in life, really, I mean, if you're going to talk about any subject in the world in life, if you believe the Bible, you would, I think, agree with me that the most important subject is the relationship between God and man. I mean, what, you know, if God is the creator, and he is, and man is the created, and he is, and man has rebelled against God and is under his wrath because of that, and he is, the Bible says, the wrath of God abideth on him, then what is the means by which man can be reconciled to God? God made us, we rebelled, we're separated now from God, we are under the wrath of God presently right now in a lost condition. If you're here and you're lost, you are in the current state of being under the wrath of God, which will be manifest by the fact that when you die, your soul will depart from your body and go to a place called hell, where it will be tormented in flames, and one day be brought out of hell to face God in judgment, at which point, when it's determined that you did not trust Christ and therefore did not have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and the Bible says, and whosoever was not found written in the Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire. And also death and hell are cast into that lake of fire. So you go from, as they say, the frying pan into the fire. You go from hell to judgment and then into the lake of fire, and that's going to be the manifestation of the wrath of God upon your rebellion, upon your sin. And we know that's so. We know that if we believe the Bible, we believe that so. Billy Graham may not believe it anymore, and other more liberal theologians may think that it's more of a separation, or some believe in the idea of annihilation or whatever. But be that as it may, the Bible and the Lord Jesus was very plain about the fact that the wrath of God is something that is endured by lost sinners forever. But the thing is, we also understand this, that same God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And we would be able to discern from that that repentance does have something to do with that reconciliation that we would need as humanity. We need reconciliation with God. And it's an individual thing. It's an individual choice, as we'll see. But what we read here was this: for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so how is it that we are reconciled to God? Well, we're told it's by grace through faith. Can I say this first of all then? Because it's by grace through faith, it is not by the sacrifices of animals. Hold your place here, but look over in Hebrews chapter 10. A very common thing to be done, certainly in primitive cultures, cultures that have long since lost the identity of who God really is, who the Creator really is, and have turned to worshiping things that are in their midst, creatures around them, or maybe demons that appear to them and show them some form which they may craft and then worship. And that's very common throughout the world, the animism and the belief of spirits being in all things, pantheism. A lot of different belief systems out there, and in some of those, many of those belief systems, there is some form of sacrifice, animal sacrifice, or acts of self-sacrifice on some level. And notice Hebrews chapter 10 tells us that that is a vain pursuit. It's not going to work. There is no sacrifice of animals that can possibly make that reconciliation between us and God, our Creator, complete. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 4, he says, "For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me, and burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, Lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, Sacrifice and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither have pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, Lo, I can't come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God." So animal sacrifices, or even human sacrifices, some would go to the extreme of sacrificing virgins, but no matter how many of those you sacrifice, no matter what they are, any combination of them, they do not take away sins. There's only one sacrifice that takes away sins, and that was the offering of the body of Jesus Christ upon the cross, and the offering of his soul. The Bible said, Thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. The offering of his soul, that's the only sacrifice acceptable to God. And so it's by grace through faith. It's not by animal sacrifices, no matter what culture, no matter what names you attach to those sacrifices. Sacrifices outside of the Lord Jesus Christ are not part of salvation. And then, of course, it's not by sacraments. It's not by sacraments. By grace are you saved through faith. Now, we tend to talk about, you know, people who grew up in Catholic Church understand that no matter what the church claims to teach when they're in arguments with Baptists, the bottom line is most every Catholic thinks that you get to heaven by being good and doing good and not committing certain sins and confessing your sins to the priest and all that. If you ask them their official position, they will say that they believe in salvation by grace. But the difference is they believe in salvation by grace through sacraments. In other words, the grace is administered by your baptism, by your first and holy communion, by continuous taking of communion, by different rites and things that are performed throughout your life, including, you know, marriage and then last rites. In other words, to them, grace is bestowed by the church through sacraments. And the Bible, listen, the word sacrament isn't anywhere in your Bible. You won't find it in there. You won't find the concept of sacraments in there. It's by grace through faith, not by grace through sacraments. And then certainly, again, it's by grace through faith, not grace and some combination of grace and faith and works. Look over at Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Salvation is entirely by grace through faith. In other words, the grace is administered to us by God, the unmerited favor of God, the act of saving us from our sin, of washing us from our sins in his own blood, of making us new creatures in Christ, and all the things that happen, writing our name in the Lamb's Book of Life. All those things happen because God bestows his grace upon us, and God bestows his grace upon us upon the exercise of our faith in Jesus Christ, not in works that we do. God doesn't say, okay, they did the right works, now let me give them the grace of salvation. Now, some people have an idea that grace and works mix together, and that maybe at some points in history or even now, that you did certain works, and at that point, God will give his grace to you and save you. No, it's by grace through faith, not grace through works. Romans chapter 4 and verse, Acts. Romans chapter 4 and verse 2. Romans chapter 4, verse 2. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. So it's faith, it's not works. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So if you're working for it, you haven't got it. You have to stop working and believe. As long as you're trying to work, you're missing the point. You're missing the boat. It's not works; it's faith. And if you're to him that worketh not, so they're mutually exclusive. You're not working; you have faith. If you're working, you don't have the right kind of faith. And if you have the right kind of faith, you've stopped trying to work for it. He said, "To him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." Look at Romans chapter 11, and let's make this point further and more clear. Romans chapter 11 and verse 6. Romans chapter 11, verse 6. Romans 11, 6, "And if by grace, then is it no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then is it no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work." Okay, he said it's one or the other. It can't be both. If it's grace, then it's not works, or it's not grace anymore. If it's works, then it's not grace, or it's not work anymore. It's one or the other. They're mutually exclusive. And so, look at Romans chapter 3. No flesh is justified by the works of the law. It's not works. There's no mixture of works in salvation. It's grace through faith. You put faith in Jesus Christ, God in his grace saves you. And the whole process of salvation that's involved in that comes from when you exercise faith in Jesus Christ, not when you accomplish a certain level of works. Romans chapter 3 and verse 20. He said, even the righteousness which is of God by faith of Jesus Christ unto all them that believe. Romans chapter 3, verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Paul, again, drives this point home in Galatians. If you want to just write it down in your notes, let me read it to you. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16. Knowing that a man is justified by the works, is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by faith, the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So three times in one verse, not justified by works of the law, but by faith in Christ. We believed in Christ that we might be justified by faith, not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Over and over again, Paul emphasizes, there is no mixture of works in salvation. It's not grace by works. You can't have grace and works. They don't go together. And so no flesh is justified by the law in the sight of God. So my question this morning, why? Why would God set it up? I mean, because the humankind has this sort of desire, this natural urge, to want to believe that somehow the way to heaven is to be good. The way to heaven is to do right things or good things, refrain from doing bad things, and just be an overall good person, and then God might give you an entrance into heaven. And that is so ingrained in our desire to, you know, have some merit of our own in salvation, that it's just very difficult for people to believe. You mean a guy who, like Hitler, could believe in Jesus Christ right before he dies and go to heaven, and Mother Teresa would die and go to hell because she didn't receive Jesus Christ? I mean, that would be a very classic example somebody might use, and the fact of the matter is that is true. That is incredibly, entirely true. Mother Teresa herself professed that she didn't have any hope of heaven. I'm not going to try to put words in her mouth. She said it. And I'm not saying Hitler got saved, probably not, but the fact of the matter is, had he truly in his heart repented and turned toward God and said, I realize what I've done is a horrible thing, and the only thing I can do is beg Jesus Christ for mercy and believe that he died for me too and rose again, had he done that, he would be in heaven right now. Now, like I said, he probably didn't. I'm not worried about seeing him there either way. But the fact is, that's kind of the mentality people have. That we want to measure our own way of who's good and who's not. And God doesn't measure that way. He said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everybody. Hitler came far shorter of the glory of God than somebody in this room, let's say. But the fact of the matter is that we're all short of that glory. We're all hell-deserving, hell-bound sinners. We are all under the wrath of God. And it's no matter of works or any of these other things, it's just completely by faith in Jesus Christ. And no merit of our own. Why? Why would God do it that way? Why would God make it so that it has nothing to do with us, really, and everything to do with him? First of all, our text told us this in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The reason it's by grace through faith, if we could earn it by our works, then we'd boast. If we could know right now that we had done enough for God to say, yep, saved. You've done the right amount of works, you did the right amount of catechism, you did the right amount of whatever things, and you can know right now because you did enough things, man, how would you act toward other people? Listen, we get self-righteous enough as Christians when we are saved by grace through faith. We get pharisaical and judgmental enough toward people and boastful enough about ourselves toward people when we know we're saved by faith. How much more if we thought we'd earned it by some kind of works? How much more boastful would we be? How arrogant, how unuseful to God because of our pride will we be. God resisteth the proud. How unuseful to God will we be if we thought, I've arrived, I've done just enough or maybe even more. We'd start to brag, hey, not only did I arrive, but I'm far beyond what you need to do to get to heaven. I mean, as proud as we can be by grace, how much more proud will we be by works? Lest any man should boast. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. No man's going to get to heaven and say how good they were to get there. It's just, you're not going to find anybody there who said, well, because I was thus and so. Because I was this or that. I'll be honest, that song they sing nowadays, I'm a little bothered by it. You know, I saw the prophets go in, and I couldn't go in with them. And I saw the martyrs go in, and I couldn't go in with them. I had to go in with the blood wash. Well, listen, those first couple of groups, they were blood washed too. They didn't go in because they were prophets. I can go in with the prophets and I can go in with the martyrs because I'm going in the same exact way they are. It's not like there's some procession of the better versus the not so good. We're all going in the same way, same time. We're all going to be bowing at the feet of the one who saved us. I'm not going to say it's a bad song. I just don't, not particularly fond of that way of putting it. But I say this, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27, as though there's like a hierarchy of sainthood. And I understand there's going to be rewards, and I understand all that, but it's just kind of a strange song to me. But verse 27, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. There's not going to be one person that glories in the presence of God and says, yep, God, thankfully you gave me the formula and the right things to do, and I did them, and now I'm waiting for my Boy Scout badge of merit because I did all the works. That's not going to be how it works. Everything we have is the grace of God, and it's by faith. Any work that God's done in us, it's just God's grace working in us. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to get the glory for our salvation, not us. Now, I know the Calvinists go another step and say, well, even your faith is by God, and you can't even brag of that. Well, I don't brag about my faith. I'm thankful that God gave me enough to put it in him. Now, that's not a bragging thing. That's just, again, that's the grace of God. But it's by faith, not by works, or we would boast. Look at Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. It's not by works, because God's not going to let any flesh glory in his presence, lest any man should boast. And that, by the way, when you're saved, that just makes all the sense in the world, doesn't it? I mean, to me, I mentioned it in Sunday school this morning. Once you get saved by faith, you look back and say, how could you believe any other way? How could any other way be even possible? There's just no other way God could do it and really make it the way it ought to be. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. And I say this, the reason it's by grace through faith is because salvation is an act of God's mercy, not our ability to earn it. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Salvation is completely and utterly an act of the mercy of God. There is no way we can earn it. There's nothing we could do. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He said, for the wages of sin is death. What have we earned? We've earned death. What have we earned? We've earned that lake of fire. That's what we've earned. And all you can ever earn, no matter how good you are, because of your sin, all you ever have earned is the lake of fire, eternity. Salvation, by contrast, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a gift. It's not a reward. The Bible said, if to a man that works, it's reckoned of not of grace, but of debt. If we say we've got to do something to earn it, then we're saying, well, we get to a point where God owes it to us. There's never a point in history where God's owed any man anything. It's a gift, not a reward. God doesn't owe us salvation. We don't earn salvation. We don't get to a point where we've done enough to be able to put God on a pin him down in an arm bar and say, God, you've got to save me and let me into heaven because I did enough. I did what you said. The only thing you can do is say, Lord, I cast myself upon the mercy of Jesus Christ and believed on him. That's it. 1 John chapter 5. Why is salvation by grace through faith and not by sacraments, not by sacrifices, not by our works, by the works of the law or any other works? Because, number one, God doesn't want boasting in his presence. Number two, it's an act of God's mercy, not our ability to earn it. Whatever that bug was, I hope it didn't go in my mouth. 1 John chapter 5, verse 10. 1 John chapter 5, verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. I'll say this, God wants us to know that we have eternal life. He wants us to know that we're saved. He doesn't want us to guess or hope that we die in the grace of the church, any of that. He wants us to know right now, present tense, that ye have eternal life. Now, how would you know if it was by works? How would you? You can find nowhere in the Bible that proves to me where you could say, well, but if you did this, 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 and this, that would be enough for God to say, yes, you're in. You know what typifies every religious belief system that thinks you have to be good enough or do good to earn it? None of them know for sure whether they've done enough. None. There's not one belief system that I know of that believes it's by works that could tell you with confidence, yes, I know what the works are, and I've done the works, and now that I've done the works, I know God will save me. They don't. They can't. No system of salvation by works can give you the assurance that you've done enough works. Because even if you did enough works, you could undo it by doing a bad work. I mean, there is no religious system that can give that assurance, and therefore none of them that believe in that know for sure they're going to heaven. Ask them the question, do you know for sure, 100%, that when you die, you're going to heaven? Well, no, I hope so. I hope I've done enough. Well, I try to be good. I'm a good person. And if they do say that they're good enough, that they think they'll go to heaven, well, why? Why would you go, well, I'm a pretty good person. Well, are you sure you're good enough? I mean, it's easy to undo that whole confidence. You're sure you're good enough? You're sure you haven't done something that God would maybe say, you know what, you did a lot of good, but here's this mark on your record, and we just can't let that in. I mean, are you sure of that? Well, no, I don't know about that. I mean, would you agree the Bible says you're a sinner? It's a very rare and audacious person that will say, I'm not a sinner. I've met them. They're out there. But that's pretty rare that somebody would say, I'm not a sinner. How could you possibly know if it was by works? You couldn't. None of them do. And so those who believe in works never have assurance. But we know. We know we have salvation. We know we're going to heaven. Why? Because we know we've done enough? Certainly not. We know that we've never done enough, never will do enough. But what we do know is that we have the Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. It all comes from belief. By grace are you saved through faith. John chapter 1, verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. How do you receive him? You believe on his name. Not just in it. You know, you can believe in the tooth fairy, but, I mean, are you going to believe on the tooth fairy? Believing on somebody is you're putting the weight and rest of your entire faith on that to be true. Believing in some, I mean, you know, you can believe in, you know, you can believe in what, miracles, you know. You can believe in tongues. People believe it. Oh, I believe in tongues because I saw somebody speak them. I know, but that's believing in something, but believing on something means, you know what, I am so assured of this thing that everything that I'm trusting in relies upon that fact. I'm believing on Jesus Christ, not just in him. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Why is salvation by grace through faith? Because number one, God doesn't want anybody getting there and bragging how good they were to get there. Nor does he want them bragging here and telling everybody else how good they were. Salvation is an act of God's mercy, not our ability to earn it. We can't earn it. It's very evident from the scripture we cannot. We've sinned. We've come short of his glory. And God wants us to know, though. And how could you know if it was some system of works? You wouldn't know whether you ever accomplished them all or whether you had and then undid it. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Kind of leading up to the verses that talk about salvation by grace through faith. Verse 1, and you hath he quickened. That means made alive. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedient, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. He said all of us were disobedient. All of us were dead. All of us were children of wrath. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us. There's that word again. Made us alive. Quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I say this, the problem is not that we did some bad things and needed to make up for it by doing good things. The problem is we're dead in trespasses and sins. Spiritually speaking, we're dead to God. There's utter and complete separation. When God looks at that soul, he looks at something that is dead. That spirit is dead. And it can't have any communion with God. It can't even enter into heaven. There's no life there. There's human life, but there's not spiritual life. We're dead in trespasses and sins. We need to be quickened. We need to be made alive. And works can't do that. Trying to work your way, I mean, there's no point at which you do a certain amount of works and that makes you alive. Look at Galatians chapter 3. Just one book over, Galatians chapter 3. You see, we need our sins washed away. Works can't do that. We need to be regenerated. We need to be made alive in our spirit. Works can't do that. You can't affect the process of salvation by works. It has to be completely done by the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God doesn't do it when you've earned it. The Spirit of God does it when you put faith in Jesus Christ. Look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 21. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid, for if there had been a law which could have given life, verily, truly, righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise of faith by Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. So there it is again. I mean, he said if there had been a law which could have given life, that was the need. That's the need of every lost person on the planet. They need spiritual life. And the law cannot give life. If you could keep the Ten Commandments, it wouldn't quicken you. If you could keep all the, whatever, 600-something laws in the Bible. If you could just try to keep the golden rule and the and all that, whatever they call it, you know, the and the royal law, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. If you could keep those, they couldn't give life. They can't regenerate a dead spirit. They can't make life inside of where there's death. Only God's Spirit can do that, and God's Spirit only does that in response to our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the problem is not that we need to just sort of make up for it or try to do good so God says, oh, what a good little boy, what a good little girl, let him in heaven. They're dead. And until that spirit is made alive again, they can't enter into the place of eternal life. They need to be made alive, and works can't do that. Only God's grace and salvation can do that, and he does that, again, when we put our faith in him. I say this, the reason it's by faith and not by works is because salvation had to be simple enough that even a child could get it. Suffer little children, Jesus said, to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Except you be converted and be as little children, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom. The Lord Jesus is very much concerned that little children come to him. Little children find salvation. He wanted it to be simple enough a child could get it. He wanted it to be simple enough that a thief on a cross could get it by saying, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Listen, it couldn't be dependent upon religion. If it was dependent upon religion, I mean, everybody would have to hope to find the right one. And by the way, when we're talking religion, we're talking about something you have to be initiated into. You have to kind of go learn the ways of it and then start following all those things. I went to a Jewish service on Friday. I was invited there by the cantor that was here for Dorothy's celebration service. And I was glad to go. I love to hear the scriptures read in Hebrew and all that. There's just some roots things going on there for me, you know. And of course, I walk up there. It's good for me to do that because it reminds me what it's like to walk into a service, a religious service, and not know really all that's going on. I've been in some Jewish services, so I know a little bit about what they're doing, but it's very much like Protestantism, Catholicism. There's a lot of ritual to it. And unless you're initiated, you really don't know what's going on. And they try to make you feel comfortable. The fact is, to fully participate in that, you have to have, you know, sort of been indoctrinated into their way of doing it. How many have ever gone to a Catholic church? Okay, several of you. So you know, how many have never gone to one? Have never gone to one. Okay, those of you who've never gone to one. So if we walked in the back door, how many who haven't gone would know that you're supposed to do this thing like this and do the sign? How many would know that? If you've never been, if you've been, you know that. But if you've never been, you don't know that's what's going on. When they dip their fingers in the water and do this, you don't know what that means. Why? Because you haven't been initiated into that. So that's what religion is. Religion is all the trappings of what do you do, the rituals. If you're a Jew, you take the prayer shawl and you put it on your shoulder and you have that on during the service and you got your little hat on and you do prayers. And whenever they do prayers and the name of God comes up, you dip your knees and you bow toward it like that. Well, you don't know to do that unless you've been indoctrinated. You see, we've got all these religious things, all these religious trappings, and it gets very complex. What do you have to do to make sure you're doing your religion right? So you have to go through catechisms or bar mitzvahs and all these things to be indoctrinated into that. And of course, the Protestants have a lot of that too because they're just come out of Catholicism. But it reminded me, you know, when people come in, I hope that it's not real hard to follow along what's going on here. We ask them to stand and sing the song, and we tell them where the song is. The only thing I notice that people have a hard time with is they just don't know the words of the song. They're not familiar with the song. But, you know, that's not part of our indoctrination. That's just you get used to those. And by the way, we're going to keep them the old hymnal songs. We like it that way. They don't know the new songs anymore. They know the old songs, so just keep the old ones. They're better. But, you know, again, you can come in our service and pretty much participate. And we even give them a visitor card so they can participate in the offering without having to give money, right? But, I was thinking about how much like salvation our church is. I mean, your doctrine of salvation, your belief, is reflected in your service. You go into a Protestant or a Catholic or a Jewish service, you got to sort of be in on it. You got to be indoctrinated into it first. In our church, you don't. Why? Because salvation is by grace. You should be able to just walk in and just get something. You can participate in the preaching by listening and receiving it. And that's really, he wants it to be simple, I think. And maybe if it's complex, somebody let me know how, and let's change it. Let's not make it complex for people to be in here and be a part of the service. And Jesus didn't want it to be. The Bible says, Paul said, I'm concerned that somebody has moved you from the simplicity, they've corrupted you from the simplicity that's in Christ. Salvation had to be simple enough a child could get it. A thief on a cross could get it. A murderer on death row who has a chaplain tell him what the gospel is could at the last minute get saved. God's grace extends that much. God's so not willing that any should perish that he makes it so that you can have a deathbed confession. I mean, if there's a sincere heart that says, man, I blew it my entire life, but if God will have me, I trust Jesus Christ as my Savior, and they can be saved. It can't be dependent on religion. Religion is something you have to be initiated into. It gets complex. God says, I want it simple. I want children to get it. I want people who don't have much in the mental capacity to be able to get it. I want it to be simple. Salvation to be simple has to be by faith. And then let me say this. Look at Galatians chapter 2, verse 21. Galatians chapter 2, verse 21. I'll say this. If we can earn it by our works, then the Lord Jesus Christ is dead in vain. There was no need for him to go and be mocked by the Jews and by the soldiers. No need for him to stand there and have to answer to people who hated his guts, who were envious of him, and tried to trip him up in his words and tried to find false witnesses against him. No need for him to have to go through that. No need for him to have to stand there and be smitten by a soldier, and then later by several soldiers. And no need for the crown of thorns. No need to be beaten beyond recognition. No need for him to hang there in great agony, and then to have to cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me, as he descended into hell, bearing our sins in his own body. There was no need for any of that if we could be good enough to get to heaven by works. Look at Galatians chapter 2, verse 29. That's not my opinion. That's what the Lord had Paul write here. In verse 21, he said, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. He said, it's empty, worthless, meaningless. Absolutely meaningless for Christ to have died if we could merit salvation by keeping the law, by doing works of the law. Salvation is by grace through faith, and that's proven by the fact that Jesus Christ had to die to secure it for us. And God said, it's going to be by grace through faith because I don't want you to boast. It's an act of my mercy. It's not something you could ever earn. I want you to know it for sure, and the only way you can know it is if I just make it a gift and you just know you received it by believing in my Son. And you can't quicken yourself by any manner of works that you do, and it needs to be simple enough that a child can get it. And the fact is, I'm going to send my Son to do it. He's going to die in your place. He's going to suffer the punishment you deserve. He's going to rise again the third day, which you cannot do outside of the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ himself. And if we could earn it by the law, if we could merit it, God said Jesus Christ died for no reason. But his death was not vain. His death is the only way. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The name of Jesus Christ. And it's by faith in Jesus Christ that God bestows his grace upon us. And quite frankly to me, I see no other way God could do it. I see there's no... How could he choose a system of religion over another? It's just faith in his Son. Not faith in anybody who died and stayed dead like us. Not faith in somebody who obviously their life was no better than ours. Faith in a sinless, perfect man who lived and died and rose again. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Salvation by faith, not by works.